Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the many things you've already blessed us with this day. And now, once again, a blessed opportunity to be able to get back into your word. Help us now as we get down our studies, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word guidance, we'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter 17. And we pick it up here in verse 14. Where it reads, "When thou art come to the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about." The setting we have here is this is given to Moses to give to the children of Israel during the Exodus. And he's setting up the potential governmental system that they're going to be wanted to have when they get established as a kingdom in Israel. And pointing out here that they're going to want this, was a bit of prophecy in here. Because when they first began settling there, they had the judges and so forth, and then eventually they decided that they wanted a king, that the judges weren't good enough, and then they wound up with Saul, and we know all the consequences of that. But here we see some more directions on how a king should be chosen, the qualifications for a governmental leader, as he continues. "Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother." He's pointing out here, it's got to be of the kinsmen of the Israelites, emphasizing a follower and a believer in God. "But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses." This to the end of multiplying horses, sell them out to Egypt. Selling out the people. In it for their own gain. It's what you got to watch out for when you're electing or appointing anyone in government. Are they there just for their self, or are they there to do a service? Sad to say, most of them are in there for their own profit. And we sure see a lot of examples of that. People going in and receiving meager income, established meager income, but then next thing you know, they come out multi-millionaires, like many of those in Congress, with the salary they have, and yet they are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Where'd all that come from? Those shady under-the-table deals, those payoffs to vote one way or another. Crooked, crooked, crooked. And that's what we have the warning of here, given to the children of Israel, to put someone in there that's a godly person, that is in it to serve, not in it to take and receive. Verse 16 again, "But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold." Those greedy politicians is what he's speaking of here. "And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levites." Needs to be a godly man with access to the Word of God and constantly studying the Word of God, as he says. "And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them." that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So, needs to be a godly man or woman and devoted to studying the Word of God and serving to the benefit of the kingdom, not to the benefit of their selfish desires. Not to be doing things just to keep them in office. That's what he's speaking of there in verse 20. But we see the examples of just the opposite displayed in the governments of most all countries, especially here in this country. Greedy politicians that are in it for themselves, and they'll turn to the left or the right, whatever it takes to stay in office, just to line their pockets with the millions and millions that they rake in, stealing from the people and getting the payoffs and so forth. Sad situation that we're in this country right now, but we need to turn to godly people to help us in our governmental system. But we have in this country, in the Constitution, it speaks of separation of church and state, which has been misused and misinterpreted. That was put in there to prevent the government from forcing a particular denomination of worship on the people. It had nothing to do with separating religion out of government, which is what it has been perverted into, to completely remove anything to do with Christianity and turn into humanism. So basically, they're just altering a chosen religion instead of keeping religion out. What it is they have turned it around to find a way to keep Christianity out of government. But yet they open their arms and welcome in foreign religions and foreign beliefs and even foreign people into our government to try and keep the system going that they want, and that is to rake in the money and have the power and control over the people. Completely wrong. They should not be doing such things. But it's the way Satan and his followers work. And we will see an increase in that. The closer we get to the last days, the more and more evil the government will turn. And more evil the people will turn as well. Alright, now let's go to Joshua. Of course, Joshua was one of the ones that was part of the administration, you might say, of Moses. He was one of the spies that went over into the Promised Land very early in their journey there, and they saw the potential and came back and told the truth. But there were others that were fearful and cowering in fear. Joshua was one of the ones that said, "Nah, we can do it. Let's go ahead and go on in." But the people didn't want to, so therefore they had to roam around in the wilderness for a while longer before they got tenderized, you might say, ready to go into the Promised Land. So Joshua grew in grace and was chosen to take over when Moses died. So here we see the very beginning of the book of Joshua, recording that Joshua taken over for Moses as the leader and guide to the children of Israel. In Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, "Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel." So we see the Lord preparing him, telling him, "You're going to take this position, and I'm going to be your guide. There's every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." That ought to be some really encouraging words to hear that directly from the Lord. "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Once again, emphasizing, follow the commandments, follow the law of God. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, Prepare your victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." Thus he begins being the guide for the children of Israel, and go on through and bring the children of Israel into the promised land and establish Israel there. There's a lot that we could go into as far as the guides that were given to the children of Israel through their journey, through their growth, even going into 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles and so forth. But let's jump all the way over to Psalm and get more into the personal guidance that we receive from the Lord, that he provides us with. And we can see this beginning in Psalm 19, as he proclaims that he is the guide of all creation. Like we started out in Genesis, he spoke everything into existence. He controls it. He is the guide of all existence. And all of his creation proclaims his existence. As we get into Psalm 19, as reads, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." Speaking of the heavens himself, the glory of the creation, the cosmos, proclaiming God and guiding us in such a way that he has prescribed. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Speaking of his word, is our guide. "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." Note the warnings that come from us from the Word of God. the guidelines that teach us to have a prosperous and God-glorifying life. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Guidance that we can receive. Direction that we can receive. Wisdom that we can receive from the Lord. Now turn over to Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, the Psalm of David, which show us that we can have a guide through the most treacherous places and times in our lives, and that he can see us through those challenges. In Psalm 23, as it reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This psalm is commonly used in funeral services because it is comforting, letting us know that he is there with us, even through those challenging times of one of our loved ones passing away. And that look into the future, that hope that we see, that anticipation of what we have to look forward to, that our loved ones that have passed away is already entering into, as it says there in verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." To be able to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, that's a wondrous thing to have anchored down and locked in, and comfort that comes from that, and that guidance that he gives us, that he tells us he's going to lead us right on through whatever we're facing, whatever challenge, whether it be going through the pleasant times along the still waters or going through that valley of the shadow of death. Whatever it is, the Lord is right there with us, fighting our enemies for us, strengthening us, guiding us through it all. I now look at Psalm 25, verses 8 through 10, where it says, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies." This is showing that the Lord is merciful and graceful, and that he helps the lost. He helps the sinners come to an awareness of him. Now, it's up to them whether they receive that, accept that, and live that, or reject it. But the Lord has made the effort. The Lord has called people. That's what initiates a relationship with God. The Holy Ghost out there doing that first initial work to call people in to the Lord. It's awesome that he allows some of us the opportunity to be able to be a part of his work to call people in. It's wondrous that he allows us to be that involved in his work. So let's take advantage of that and get on in there and help out when we can, when he allows us, by his direction, by his guidance, and teach the sinners. Let's read that again. It's so profound. "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies." Listen up to the Lord, follow his directions, and he's going to bless us and save us, and then give us an opportunity to be a part of His work. All right, now look at Psalm 31. We see here a reference to the Lord being our guide. Another Psalm of David. Pick it up here in verse 1. It reads, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness." Note the emphasis of putting the Lord as the one that you trust. Not in the government, not in your loved ones, not in anyone else, but to totally and fully and completely trust in the Lord. Yes, He'll allow other people to be a part of our life that we can trust in a certain degree, but ultimate trust in the Lord. Never lift anybody else up in higher level than the Lord. So put the Lord number one, trust Him to bring other people into your life that you can trust, but ultimately, trust in the Lord. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down Thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be Thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for Thou art my strength. Into Thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. When our enemies start to surround us and overwhelm us, turn to the Lord. Look to Him for guidance, for strength, to fight that battle against those enemies. He can guide us through whatever challenge we face. All right, now turn over to Psalm 48. We see here verses 9 through 14, where it reads, "We have thought of Thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of Thy temple. According to Thy name, O God, so is Thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of Thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God. Forever and ever He will be our guide, even unto death." When we, like the children of Israel, it's referring to here, turn to the Lord, acknowledge Him as our guide, He will be there with us all the way to death and beyond, even into everlasting life. Our guide, our leader, our loving and merciful God. I now turn to Psalm 86. Let's look at verses 5 through 13 here, where it reads, "For Thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon Thee, for Thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto Thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto Thy works. All nations whom Thou hast made shall come and worship before Thee, O Lord, and shall glorify Thy name. For Thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me Thy way, O Lord. I will walk in Thy truth. Unite my heart to fear Thy name. I will praise Thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Thy name forevermore. For great is Thy mercy toward me, and Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." Delivered us from what would be an eternity in lake fire. can lead us, can guide us. We need to turn ourselves over to Him completely. Let Him teach us His way, as it says there in verse 11, teach me thy way, which is one of the wondrous things that we have available to us. When we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, then He indwells us with the Holy Ghost, whom can teach us all things. Whatsoever we need to know, He can teach us. When we look at His Word, when we study His Word, we can find the wisdom that we need to be able to be on the pathway that He wants us to be on. So we need to acknowledge Him as our Lord, as our Savior, to hold on to that, to cherish that, to always acknowledge that, that He is our Lord, He is our rock, He is the one that we look at as our one and only true shepherd. As we go back to Psalm 23 again, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's so awesome that we have that shepherd, that guide. Never ever put a man up as your shepherd. I have seen that end in destruction so many times. When people start to follow a man, they start following a preacher or a pastor or a teacher or something as being their guide, as their shepherd, as the one they want to follow. No, he's a hireling. He's someone that the Lord has allowed to be a part of His work. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's those scoundrels that are trying to increase their self-glory and their self-profit. So don't ever lift up a man or woman on this planet as your shepherd. Only Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ. Got to emphasize that. He is the only true and one shepherd. And He is the one that can lead us and guide us. As I said earlier, He allows people to be a part of His work. Sure. But they are equals to us, not superior to us. We look at the pastors and the preachers and the teachers as other associates, as other members of the body, not to lift one up above the other. And that's the important thing. Don't fall into the trap of destruction like the Catholic Church has gone, to lift up the Pope as somebody to be worshipped and those that they call Father, which is a total sacrilege. Don't fall into that trap. Never lift anybody up like that. Not even the kings and the presidents and the government officials. Only lifting Jesus Christ up as superior to us. The rest of us are equals. Let's act like it. Never puff anybody up with that authority or power that goes to their head and goes right into that selfish heart. Keep the Lord number one in your life, because He is the shepherd, as it says. The Lord is my shepherd, Jesus Christ, God Almighty, only our shepherd. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for being our shepherd, for being our guide. Help all of us to always keep our eyes on You as the ultimate authority in everything that is done in our lives, so that we can be on that pathway that You are guiding us to, and bring honor and glory to You through everything that we say, everything that we do, every step that we take. Thank You so much, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you.